What's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is part two of episode three of the Daddy Fino Show, featuring your boy Daddy Fino and Sasha the Legit King. Check it out.
I'm not a hater of any other company. I'm not a hater of Raw, SmackDown, AEW, Dynamite, Impact, or TNA, whatever the fuck they want to call themselves. New Japan Strong, New Japan, whatever the fuck. I don't care. NXT. No one has been as consistent as NXT in, what, the last 4 years, 5 years? That's like... no one. There's no one who's been that consistent. And I mean, until someone can top them, I'll shut the fuck up. I mean, that's just basically how it is. But speaking of someone shutting me up, I think you did a great job with NXT, but I need to talk about the next major event next weekend, because I was challenged, Sasha. I don't know if I mentioned this challenge to you, Sasha, but I was challenged by a friend of mine. I mentioned him several times on the show before to you. His name is Coop. He is the host of The Big Scoop with Coop. Check it out. It's on YouTube and Facebook and all that. He interviews a lot of celebrities and all that. He's a mentor of mine. But I have some beef with him, because he made a challenge to me. And I want to tell you exactly what he challenged me to, because this right here, I'm not going to lie, hurt me. So I'm hyped for this WrestleMania as well. I'm sure you are too. You may not be on my level of hypeness for it, but I'm definitely hyped, because I think this card is underrated. I totally think it's underrated. I think that this card has potential to be, like, think of it. You remember WrestleMania 31? 31 had like 8 or 9 matches. No one expected that card to be as good as it was. That actually turned out to be. But to me, 31 is a top, for me, is a top 5 favorite WrestleMania of all time. It obviously ended with Seth Rollins cashing in at the end of the night, entering the match with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns and winning the title. Like that, you know, because to build a WrestleMania and to make a WrestleMania a top 5 WrestleMania, or one considered one of the greatest of all time, it has to have certain characteristics. Okay, it has to have, for example, it needs to have it has to have several WrestleMania moments. Okay, it has to have its stars in the top matches of the card. You know, think of WrestleMania 17. You know, you had Rock Austin at the main event. You had Triple H and Undertaker in the co-main event. You know, you had your stars in the top matches. Okay, then you have to look at the actual match card. The match card gotta have quality matches. Matches that you want to see, whether it be dream matches, whether it be just a match that, you know, that on paper, when you look at that match, you're like, okay, yeah, that match is gonna be good. Like at WrestleMania 17, they had Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit. Like, you know, all right, those two names, oh yeah, they're gonna go, and they're gonna put on a hell of a show. You know, what else do you need to have? You also need to have, obviously, match quality. After watching it, you gotta be like, okay, that match was good. You know, and that's what made a WrestleMania 17 so good, because every match on WrestleMania 17 was decent to all-time great. Am I correct, Sasha?
Yep, got some decent ones. Maybe the women's title match, but for the most part, they kept that short.
It was pretty legit, right?
Yeah, decent to
excellent. I'm gonna run down the WrestleMania card of WrestleMania 17. I'm gonna name all the matches that happened. Okay. And I'll explain why I'm doing this in just a second, okay? So, it was... this is the card. It was Chris Jericho versus William Regal. You had... And this was for the Intercontinental title. You had Taz in the APA versus Right to Censor. Kane versus Raven versus Big Show. You had Eddie Guerrero versus Tess. You had Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit. China versus Ivory. Shane McMahon versus Mr. McMahon. You had the legendary TLC match, Edge and Christian versus the Dudleys and the Hardy Boys. You had a gimmick battle royal match. And then the two matches I named, you had The Undertaker versus Triple H, and then Stone Cold versus The Rock. That's a hell of a card. That is considered, that card right there is considered the greatest. Well, by most people, I would say that most people say that WrestleMania 17 is the greatest WrestleMania of all time. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Now, you look at that card, and I'm going to tell you about the challenge that I was given, okay, by my boy Coop, okay? Because since I'm so hyped for this WrestleMania, he said that I couldn't convince the world how this WrestleMania is just as great as past WrestleManias. Okay. I just read you the card of WrestleMania 17. What is, as great as that card is, I'm going to tell you what the card for this year is. Now, you tell me where I'm wrong about this, okay? You stop me when I say something that's blasphemous, that's crazy, that you want to smack the hell out of me for, okay? Gotcha. WWE Championship, we got Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. SmackDown Women's Championship, we got Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. We have Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. We have Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman. Now, that one, I can't
I was about to say, you know how I feel about that one.
I can't defend that one.
You know how I feel about that.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm just going to throw that out there, okay? It's still in there, so I got to name it, okay? We got Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, The New Day, one of the greatest tag teams of all time, versus AJ Styles and Omos. Okay. Now, we got Bad Bunny versus The Miz. Okay, now I know what you're thinking. Bad Bunny. Okay, well, Bad Bunny is like the Spanish Drake. Let's just throw that out there. And also, if I may interrupt, the Iron Sheik wrestled at WrestleMania 17. I'm just saying.
So we're not gonna besmirch the gimmick battle royal, okay?
I'm just throwing that every year.
The match
ended in 3 minutes. I don't want to hear it. I have
Bad Styles. Bunny almost killed himself jumping off the top rope the first time. Did you see that?
Yes.
His foot slipped.
Yeah, but did you not see that punch against The Miz?
But he was standing on his own 2 feet. I'm worried.
Did you not see that punch? That punch was legit. Okay. I'm just throwing it out there. But I digress, okay? All right. Now, this is night two. We got Roman Reigns, Edge, and Daniel Bryan triple threat.
Okay.
We got Asuka versus Rhea Ripley. We got two women's matches and two women matches that people actually give a damn about. Because you can't tell me no one gives a shit about Asuka and Rhea Ripley. Even though our main focus has been Sasha versus Bianca, we cannot sleep on Asuka versus Rhea Ripley.
Right. I mean, it just kind of came together super fast. But you're right. This is actually a pretty important match. Yeah.
We have The Fiend versus Randy Orton, which I'm excited for. I don't know if many people are. I'm excited.
Let me stop you right there. Do you remember 4 years ago when they had that feud and they had that weird projection, like the bugs, like on the mat? The lights would shut off. Like, I thought something was wrong with my TV at first. Whoa. I was like, what the hell's wrong with my TV? But
okay, can I say something? I forgot about that on purpose.
Oh no, time to bring it back.
look. I predict the Randy Orton Fiend match is not going to be a Randy Orton versus Fiend match. This is not a straight fast prediction. This is not just like a prediction. I'm just saying, I'm just throwing this out there. I think that this is going to be a Firefly Funhouse match. They didn't announce it. I think it is going to be that. I really believe that they're going to continue that because I just feel like that's the best thing that should happen. I would love to see the Legend Killer Randy Orton back. I would love to see you know, the old Randy Orton music. Just have him play that. Like, I would just love to see that. I think many people would love to see it. Even have, like, Evolution in there somehow, or just something. Like, I just feel like that would be cool.
Would that be a crutch, though? Because it's... So, okay, real quick. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, I think that Bray Wyatt, he needs to be commended because he's so... He gets so immersed in his character. But I think the downside of that is... with his characters kind of being so out there and just so... He obviously thinks this out. I don't know if WWE knows what to do with that. Or I feel like they do too much where it's detrimental to him. So this whole thing with being burned alive and black liquid and, you know, I have to commend Alexa Bliss for what she's done. She's totally changed up, but... when it comes down to the actual match, though, it's like, I don't know. It's just something about it. Like you said earlier with Finn Balor, like, something's missing. Something just doesn't, something's not clicking.
I think what it is, it's what we do as wrestling fans every day. We think too much. It's like, we have the perfect thing in front of us, and we know the story, but we want to add so much to it to make it what we think would make it better, when in fact we should just let it ride.
But see, I don't.
And that's what they do with the Fiend.
See, what is, but what is that?
What is the story? Well, the story dates back to the feud you mentioned. What was it? 3 years ago? 3-4 years ago? Whatever it was. You know, he created the Fiend. Orton was the reason the Fiend is what we have. He burned the house down, and that created the Fiend. That's what they started it with. That was the whole thing about it. You know, if you remember, they showed Orton burning the house and Sister Abigail getting burned.
Right.
Unfortunate, because that's how we were going to get Paige back. At least that's what I understood. That to be, I thought we would get Paige that way. But anyway, you know, shout out to Paige. But I felt like that started everything. And now the whole Alexa Bliss thing, which I think has made, I get people not liking this feud, but I think that Alexa Bliss actually helped the feud tremendously. She helped, not only did she help keep it going, and she deserves a shit ton of credit for the character change she has made. Alexa Bliss may be one of the most underrated performers, superstars in the WWE because of what she's done. You know, we always look at the four horsewomen. We need to start looking at Alexa Bliss in that too, which is something I never thought I'd say, by the way. So I don't know if I drank too much while recording this or not. But at the end of the day, she does deserve credit for what she's done in this feud by not only extending it, but I thought she's done a great job at making it where you wanted the Fiend to return. And I may be the only person on this lonely island, but I just felt like that is something that is true. She's killed the game. She's absolutely made this feud something that we definitely wanted to see. Definitely, this is a match we want to see, but I think that we need to see it in a Firefly Funhouse. I would love to see that again, because I thought the one that they did last year with John Cena was absolutely amazing.
I don't know. I still disagree. I feel like if they do another Firefly Funhouse, I feel like it's going to be a crutch, because the match that they had 4 years ago really wasn't that memorable. So I'm just like, what? It just feels like they do too much.
Keep it simple. Keep it simple with the Firefly Funhouse.
But that's not simple, though.
I disagree. I think it is. It's simple because you have the formula. You can't... did you not like the match with John Cena? The Firefly Funhouse last year with Cena? Did you not like it?
I didn't hate it, but I was just like, it was just more... interesting. Like, I was just like, oh, okay.
But
like,
it got you to say, oh, okay, right? That's right there, that's a positive.
But I mean, that's kind of like a lukewarm response. And then two, that was night two had the Boneyard match, which I thought was substantially better than...
Let me ask you this, then. Would you have rather seen Bray Wyatt, or was he the Fiend against... No, he wasn't the Fiend yet, was he? Was he the Fiend? No, he was the Fiend.
Yeah, he was.
Would you have rather seen the Fiend versus John Cena in a regular match, or would you have rather have saw the Firefly Funhouse?
I guess if you had... gun to my head, I would have to say the fire.
Then right there, then WWE did the right.
But then too, again, is that a crutch? It's like, are you saying that you know the match quality is not that good, so let's use a theatrical match? But then, what are you saying that beyond that, can he have a memorable match after that, or do you need to rely on this every time?
That's like saying what you're saying is that's like saying, all right, Undertaker returns and he only has a cinematic match. Like, if he has a cinema, let's say he returns next WrestleMania, right? And he has a cinematic match. That's like WWE saying, oh, well, we know he sucks in the ring now. Well, of course,
but
they know.
Though. Yeah, why? But that's, but Bray, okay, but that's different, though. Like you said, The Undertaker is, he's a lot older. Like, he's, you know, respectfully, he's past his prime. With Bray, it's just, he's not. He's still young
enough to do this. Okay, but why can't he have his own match? We've had Hell in a Cell that was known for the Undertaker and Mankind matches, or the Bury Alive. Actually, let me correct. The Bury Alive match is more for the like the Undertaker or the casket match.
Those weren't the matches that he did all the time, though. He could still wrestle matches.
No, I know, but that was the match that... When you think Buried Alive, who do you think is in that match? If someone has Buried Alive... If they just said, we're going to have a Buried Alive match, and we're thinking when Undertaker was around a full time, WWE announces a Buried Alive match, who's the one person you know is going to be in that match?
I mean, just because of the name of it, obviously you're going to think Taker, but...
Okay, so why can't Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, have his own match? That's the Firefly
Funhouse.
I'm
not saying
he
can't. He can have his own match. What I'm saying is I think it's a crutch. I think it's saying that we can't do this. We have to do the Firefly Funhouse. Like, but what happens after that? If he has another feud, are we going to do, like, okay, next year. Let's say he's still the Fiend next year. And he's feuding with, you know, God knows who. Let's just say Daniel Bryan, whatever. Yes. Throw that out there.
Yes.
Okay. Are you going to wrestle Daniel Bryan, or are you going to have another Firefly Funhouse?
Yes.
What are you going to do?
You have the Firefly Funhouse. Yes. At WrestleMania, I think that should be his thing.
I don't agree. I just don't. I think...
That's fine.
I think they know the feud isn't that strong without it. And I feel like with John, it was good for that John Cena match, because we weren't expecting it. It was new. It was interesting. Like I said, even I said, oh, if you keep doing it, it's going to lose its luster. Undertaker could wrestle other matches, and he was able to change up. But Bray, it's like they change him up, but they do too much.
Let me say this then. I'll say this, and then we'll get back on track, because we went way far right with this, because I'm sure we got a lot more we can say. But I'll say this to this last part, okay? Every person that they've had, well, I'm not going to say every person, they've only done it twice, okay? They had John Cena and we had Randy Orton, right? These are his two major feuds entering WrestleMania as the Fiend.
Right.
These two characters, though, and if you pay close attention to the feud, each of these two characters had a major part in creating the Fiend.
Okay.
So it makes sense for these characters, for Randy Orton, for John Cena, to be in that position to have that Firefly Funhouse match, because he's only having it with the people that caused him to become the darkness within, to let him in. So when you think of it at that level, to me, I think that people are overlooking that, and they're like, they're not seeing what they're trying to actually do. Like, I feel like with every feud that happens, I think what they're trying to think, what they're trying to make us think, and that's exactly what they're doing. What's his catchphrase? Let him in. Let me in. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's He's having feuds with the people that made him let himself in, that let the Fiend in, and caused him to be from Bray Wyatt into the Fiend, which is why we had the Firefly Funhouse, which is in, which when you think about it, the match is actually a reverse where he's making John Cena, he's making, if Randy Orton has the match, which I hope that they do, he's going to make them see themselves, let their evil in. It's like a reverse psychology type thing.
I don't know about you, but I don't think Randy Orton has any problem letting the evil in. So but I think he's barking up the wrong tree with that one.
I think that's where the whole Alexa Bliss falls apart in. I can talk deep. I really can go in on this and go deeper. But I think it's a more, I just don't think that people are actually capturing what is actually going on with this feud. And they're automatically saying, oh, this feud is terrible.
I'm not saying you.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying in general, just reading comments online and stuff like that. Like, they're not understanding what's actually going on.
I think it's because it's so much. It's kind of like, where are we?
That's why I say, you ever heard of that statement, that quote, is deeper than rap? I'm a big Childish Gambino fan, and Childish Gambino did this freestyle on Sway in the Morning, and in one of his freestyles, he was like, it's deeper than rap. He said this whole deep shit in his freestyle, and he was like, it's deeper than rap. And when you really think about it, it was like, oh shit, you know what? Yeah, it really is deeper than that. That's why I think when it comes to feuds, my mind is so totally different. And I know we're totally off subject. We went all the way right from where we were supposed to go. I just feel like this is something we had to talk about. It's deeper than that. That's just the way, and just knowing how Bray Wyatt thinks, how the person thinks about his character, I should say, it's deeper than what we think.
I feel like with his character, he does think it's deeper than that. I think the execution is a little messy because I'm not sure how you got off that from that, but
it may be the wine, but at the same time, I think it's...
It may be, because I don't see any of that, because...
I don't know. I would just say this. Maybe it's just the fact that maybe that's what I want it to be, but I don't know. That's just when I look at it, that's what I see. It's just psychology major in me, I guess. You know,
I was a communication major at it, so I was like, what is this?
Wrestling,
make it make sense. Like,
wrestling is all about psychology, you know what I mean? You know how it is. But all right,
I'm trying to find a psychology.
Let's get back. I got you. Let's get back on track. Let's get back on track because we went way off the road, and that's my fault. But let's go ahead. Let's run through some of these results for WrestleMania. And I'm gonna start with the matches that I'm pretty sure that we both are like, who gives a shit? That we don't really have much to say. So for night one, WrestleMania, Saturday, April 10th, Shane McMahon, Braun Strowman, who you got?
Braun.
Me too. Okay. I didn't care less about that. Raw Tag Team Championships, The New Day versus AJ Styles and Omos, who you got?
Styles and Omos.
I agree too. I think Styles and Omos is going to shine somehow in this match. They apparently got a bright future for him, so we'll see what happens there. Let's go with Bad Bunny versus The Miz.
As long as he stays away from the top rope, Bad Bunny.
All right, I'm going to go with Bad Bunny also, but I believe this match somehow, I think this match turns into a tag team match somehow with Damian Priest and John Morrison. I think that's something that would make the match more interesting. Maybe they
wasn't John Morrison hurt though. That's why it's not a tag team match.
Is he hurt? Okay, well then if
they said he was kind of hurt.
Okay, well then if he's hurt, then never mind. I'm still going with Bad Bunny, and I hope he performs after because that should be cool. All right, so let's get into the matches we definitely both care about. Cesaro versus Seth Rollins.
Cesaro section, stand up. Okay. Even though I've been feeling Seth Rollins' little short suits he's been wearing.
Wow.
But yeah.
You took deeper than that. Okay.
Ooh. It's definitely deeper than rap with those suits. But Cesaro, yes, for the win, yes.
Okay, I'm going to go with Cesaro also. I think this is his... Eventually, this will lead to a potential title run, or at least for contention for the major title, the WWE Championship. Something he definitely deserves. You know what? I'm going to go with the co-main event of the evening, the WWE Championship, Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. Who you got?
Lashley. I think Drew did a good job last year, but we've seen him as champ for a good while, and Bobby just won. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough time for a rant about the Hurt Business, so I'll just keep it short, Bobby Lashley. So,
you know what? I do want to hear your rant about it, but I agree. I know we don't have time, so I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go with Bobby Lashley. Although I think that Drew McIntyre deserves a moment. I just don't think that you can take the title off of Bobby Lashley that quickly. And I also think they're going to rebuild the Hurt Business with legitimate people. Sorry, Shelton. But that's just the truth. I think they're going to build it with someone else. So I'm fine with that. Now with the main event in my eyes of WrestleMania Night 1. The SmackDown Women's Championship, Sasha Banks, Sasha the legit boss Banks, versus Bianca, the EST of WWE, Belair. Who you got?
This one was actually kind of hard, but I decided to take your advice and not overthink it. I've made it no bones about it. I feel like the build could have been better. I felt like there was a lot of potential. That was kind of wasted on the story, but I think if you're going to go for a feel-good moment on night one, I think Belair needs to take it. I do wonder who's going to go after her after she wins, but if we're just going to stay in the moment and it's WrestleMania, then Bianca Belair. I think she could be a tremendous champion, and yeah, I'm going to go with Belair.
All right, for me, I'm also going to go with Bianca Belair. I think Sasha Banks is in the prime of her career, but at the same time, I also believe that she is one of the people that is perfect for putting someone else over. And I think that Bianca Belair gets the title, and I believe this starts the next generation. As not that we move forward from the four horsewomen, but we see some we need to build more stars other than the four horsewomen.
Yeah.
And this is the perfect opportunity to do that. Yep. So I'm going with Bianca Belair, and I think this match will be amazing. That alone is better than the women's match at WrestleMania 17. And talk about WrestleMania moments. We mentioned it before. Having Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, you know, that alone is a WrestleMania moment. I think that just would be awesome. I also think, just throwing this out there, Cesaro doing the spins with Seth Rollins for like 2 minutes is also a WrestleMania moment that's going to happen. So.
And I think we'd be just real quick, I think we'd be remiss to mention that, you know, this is the first time in a year they've had crowds. So,
exactly.
Man, that energy is going to be insane. Like,
the Cesaro section is going to be all
over.
I'll
have my little sign on my couch. But yeah, it's going to be insane. So,
You know, and that's crazy because I did forget to mention that. Yeah. The crowds is gonna go, they're gonna be crazy, so extra crazy. Even like the bad moments or boring moments, I guess, even though there's rarely boring moments at WrestleMania, but like I would just say the low moments, then I think that's gonna be overhyped just because of crowds. So
yeah, it's been a year, and plus it's 2 nights, they don't have to sit through 7 hours
exactly. Like so, each night, I'm thinking, because there's what, 6 matches each night, you're thinking maybe 3.5 hours, 3 hours, something like that. That's fine with me, so I'm happy with that. All right, let's jump to night two of WrestleMania. We have, let's start with the United States Championship. Matt Riddle versus Sheamus. What is your opinion, a prediction? What do you got for that?
I'm going to go with Riddle.
Okay.
Matt, I think he's going to keep the title.
I agree. I think Matt Riddle does win and retain his title. I think he needs to win because it seems like they're pushing him. They're pushing him to be a dumbass, but at the same time, they're pushing him. And as long as they're pushing a great wrestler that Matt Riddle is, I'm happy. So it doesn't matter to me. Night two, by the way, is filled with great matches. That I think you can compare night two with any WrestleMania of all time. Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens is just another example of what I'm talking about. Sami Zayn actually just recently debuted the trailer to his documentary. So what do you think about his match against Kevin Owens? Who you got winning that one?
This is a tough one. I think because obviously they're doing this match because of Logan Paul involvement. I think they confirmed tonight on SmackDown that he will be at WrestleMania. I do kind of feel like this match is kind of thrown together, which I kind of feel bad because Sami Zayn did come back from injury and totally revamped his character. And, you know, even with this documentary, I thought that was actually just a very cool and innovative idea. But obviously they went Zayn versus Owens because you know you're going to get a good match out of it.
Yes.
And I mean, not every match needs to have a story, so I'm not going to pick on it that much. I'm going to go with Owens, and maybe I think Logan Paul, isn't he like he can box or something like that? I would think that maybe Owens wins and maybe Sammy gets punched by Logan Paul. So yeah, I'll go with Owens on that.
All right, I'm going to actually go the opposite and disagree with you. This is Sami Zayn. They put this match for one reason only. They put this match for one reason only, and that was to put Sami Zayn, who has been the greatest character over the last 6 months by far, in not only WWE, but I can argue probably in all of wrestling. Sami Zayn is fucking amazing now. I'm gonna actually send you a promo that he did backstage. It was a very explicit promo that he did, but it was something that it was some of the best character work I've ever seen, definitely out of him, but over the last couple of years, I don't think anyone had a promo like he had. I'm going with Zayn. I think Logan Paul does get the stunner after the match, but Sami Zayn steals the win thanks to Logan Paul, and Logan Paul takes the stunner from Kevin Owens after the match, and right there you have a WrestleMania moment.
Okay. All right.
Let's see the next match. Intercontinental Championship match. Big E versus Apollo Crews. Who do you have?
I'm gonna go with Apollo Crews on this. I feel like he needs this win, and I know that everybody's clamoring for Big E to get that big push in, you know, to maybe be the one to dethrone Roman, which I'm going to get to later. I feel like Apollo Crews needs it more. So I'm going to go with Apollo Crews. I think Big E he's put in that work, and his character, even though he's trying, you know, he's kind of in that mode where he's trying to break out completely from that New Day, even though, you know, they're not feuding or anything, but he's still trying to, you know, get his feet under him again as a singles competitor. I feel like Apollo Crews needs it more. So I'm going to go with Apollo Crews.
Okay. For me, I'm going to go with Big E. And it sucks because that means Apollo Crews gets another loss. However, I think another loss actually helps Apollo Crews. because it's going to make him more angry. And it sucks because at the same time, too, it's just going to make him another angry black guy, you know, with definitely with his character. But at the same time, I think we've wanted for a long time for Apollo Crews to become more than just this smiley face guy. You know what I mean? We want him angry, and this whole character he's building, I'm actually starting to like it a lot, especially the build up to his last, to the last match they had with Big E. I think they, if they get enough time, this match alone can be really good. It's not steal the show type of, it's not going to be like a steal the show type of level, because it's not going to get enough time to do that. But I think it's going to be a credible match. And I'm just going to go with Big E, continue his title reign for a little bit longer, and save his eventual build to the title. Save his eventual build for the title to later. So maybe next year at WrestleMania. I think that would be something that would be cool. Let's see. Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. We have Asuka versus Rhea Ripley. Who do you have?
I would say Rhea Ripley. I know that we said Bianca Belair for night one, and to have two title changes. I don't know if they're going to do that, but I think to kind of rebound from last year, Rhea Ripley had that much momentum going on, and then it kind of felt like after she lost to Charlotte Flair, it kind of stalled a little bit. And Asuka, as amazing as Asuka is, I feel like her reign as a Raw Women's Champion hasn't been as great. It's been a little stagnant. And to no fault of her own, I just don't think that they, you know, really had any good feuds for her. And there was also all kind of other things going on. So she's kind of been in the background. It's kind of weird that she's champion and it's kind of been in the background. Right. I'm going to go with Rhea Ripley, though.
I'm just going to go off of what I said earlier. They're trying to move off of the... Well, they're not purposely trying to move off of the Four Horsewomen, but eventually you have to. Because you can't just have the Charlotte, the repetition of Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Bayley, and Sasha being the forefront of your women's division. You're going to have to eventually build off of it. And I think that having new faces, Bianca, the Rhea Ripley, I think that's something that you need to have to, definitely with Rhea Ripley being so young. I think Rhea Ripley is like 24, maybe younger. I can't remember exactly her age, but she's young as shit. I think it's the perfect time. And it goes back to that story I told you, I think it was last episode, when I mentioned how Triple H had like a long-term story for Bianca and Rhea Ripley. I think they bring that back into the picture. And I think that would be a great moment for both of them to win the women's championships at WrestleMania.
So do you think that we're going to have a WrestleMania without Charlotte Flair this year?
I believe we will 100% have a WrestleMania without Charlotte Flair. I would love to see... I'm not going to lie. I wish they had did something with Charlotte and Bayley. Maybe have Charlotte appear on Bayley's Ding Dong talk show or whatever the fuck she calls it. Maybe that sets up... Even if it was just like a put-together random match, I wouldn't care. Because who wouldn't want to see Charlotte versus Bayley? You know what I mean? I feel like that right there is a great match alone. But it's okay. Charlotte doesn't need to be at WrestleMania. Let these women have the moment, and let Charlotte be the one to ruin it. You know what I mean? I feel like that's perfect. All right, let's go to the next match. The Fiend versus Randy Orton, our favorite topic of the night, I feel like. We went against each other for the first time, I feel like deeply. And, you know, in our first, we had our first feud over this, I guess, earlier in this episode.
Is there a rule for this that we have to pick for every match? Because I don't.
Nah, I mean, I will say this. If it turns out to be a Firefight Funhouse match, whatever we pick will be, like, it wouldn't count.
Just take my point, because I just take, you know what I think it is? I think I'm still bitter that I was so into that Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, Luke Harper thing, and I felt like Luke Harper should have been added to that match a couple years ago. I think would have made it better. I think maybe I'm secretly bitter about that.
Wow, just make me want to think about, okay, wow. You just had to mention his name. R.I.P. Brody, by the way.
I think that would have been so much better than what we got a couple years ago. But
wow, Sasha, wow.
Think about it. You remember that? That the hostility and okay, I was there at the Rumble.
He should have won the match. He should have been inserted and he should have won. I agree 100,000,000%. Like, don't trust me, I do. Okay, look, we don't have to pick this one, but I will say
we can. I'll go with the Fiend. I mean,
we're gonna both pick the Fiend anyway, so it doesn't matter. Let's just
set the guy on fire. I'll give him something.
Exactly. All right, so let's go with the second most difficult match of the weekend. Of the week. Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan. This is the main event of WrestleMania Day 2. For the Universal Championship, I'm gonna start with you, Miss Sasha, the legit king. Who is the winner of this match?
Jeez.
So, and like I said, this may be the most difficult one.
I wrote on my paper Roman Reigns. I don't necessarily know if that's where I want to go, but I look at it this way. I don't think Roman should lose the title. I think Roman being the head of the table has been such an unexpected blessing for him, because it's just been consistent. Everything about it is amazing. Like I said a couple episodes ago, the matches that he had with Jey Uso, if you look at the matches, they're pretty much the same. But the emotion that you felt on both of them was so strong. And it was just like, I was on the edge of my seat for it.
I 100% agree with you again.
Yeah, so Roman Reigns, I don't think he needs to lose. At the same time, it's like, this feud, man, it's not what I thought it would be. I thought it would be as simple as, okay, Edge wins the Royal Rumble. You know, he's riding it with that story of, you know, I came back after, you know, all these years of being gone, and, you know, I'm going to go in, and Roman Reigns is like, this is my time now, you're an old timer, blah, blah, blah. But this has really just gone left, and that's not a bad thing, because there's so many layers to it. And I feel like the real story here is Edge versus Daniel Bryan. The way that Daniel Bryan kind of inserted himself into it, even though he was right because of what happened at Elimination Chamber. The real story here is Edge versus Daniel Bryan. They have basically the same story. They were told they couldn't wrestle anymore. They both clawed to come back. And, you know, for Edge, you know, he won the Rumble. He started from number one and he won. And now you're telling me, like, this guy's coming in, taking my spot. And now you're seeing that other side of Edge, the part that really made Edge the guy all those years ago, like that ultimate opportunist. So I feel like it's really going to come down to Edge versus Daniel Bryan, and I feel like Roman Reigns is kind of just going to slip in there and kind of take the win. That's what I feel like is going to happen. That's what will make the most sense to me. Daniel Bryan winning would be a great feel-good moment. But with him winding down, it's like, if he won, you know, how long would he be champion? Like, he's already saying he's not going to work a full-time schedule. He's winding down. And Edge winning the title, like, where do you go from there? I really feel like Roman's going to come in and it's going to be some kind of chicanery. He's going to do something because he's a very intelligent heel. Like, he's very methodical when he does. So I just feel like Reigns is going to do something, or kind of maybe even sit back and let them beat the shit out of each other. But yeah, I'm going to go with Reigns. It's hard, but I'm going to go with him because I don't think he should lose.
All right. So first off, I want to, before I give my answer, I want to break some breaking news. So just so for the listeners understand, and then we'll explain this a little bit later after we give our predictions, but we record this episode, we record these episodes on Fridays. So of course, with Fridays being the same night as SmackDown, we have some new news that just happened on SmackDown. It seems that Apollo Crews will battle Big E at WrestleMania in a Nigerian drum fight. I don't know.
Wait a minute. What?
Yes. Apollo Crews wants to battle Big E in a Nigerian drum fight at WrestleMania. Now, I don't know what that is exactly. I'm just looking. I just happened to... It popped up on my YouTube feed because I follow WWE. I subscribe to their WWE YouTube channel. So that's just what popped up. And the title, it says, Apollo Crews wants to battle Big E in a Nigerian drum fight.
So he wants to, but it's not...
I mean, they threw that out there. I'm pretty sure Big E is going to accept. So
I'm trying so hard not to throw my phone across the room.
I'm sorry. I just
all I that had, anger I had for the Fiend. I apologize.
I had breaking news. I just had to drop it. I'm sorry. But I'm just saying. So.
Take my point for that one too.
it looks like it's
a Nigerian drum match.
Wait, you chose Apollo, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think you might win that. I probably lost that because it is a Nigerian drum fight. So you got an easy point. But we'll see. But I'm just saying I just saw it. I had to break the news. I had to shoot. I had to do a shoot real quick. But as far as what you said, you chose Roman Reigns to win the triple threat for the Universal title. It's something I do respect. I think I mentioned, if not the first episode, but I think I mentioned it last episode also. I said that day one, I think Edge... The whole point of Edge is to turn to the rated R superstar. The rated R superstar was heel. And for Edge to turn, to fully complete that heel turn, he has to lose. So in that understanding, I feel like Daniel Bryan has to be the reason he loses. Now you can say, by saying that, you could think that Daniel Bryan wins the match, in my view. But in fact, I don't think he wins. I think Daniel Bryan is in this match to take the loss. Because I believe that the feud that they're trying to build is Edge versus Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
I think that will lead to SummerSlam and all that. Especially if Edge is not going to be on a full-time schedule, which I highly doubt. And Daniel Bryan wants to move to part-time anyway. I can see the Raw after SmackDown Edge absolutely destroying Daniel Bryan to eventually set up a SummerSlam match in August, probably on my birthday, August 23rd. So I think Roman Reigns, I do agree with you, Roman Reigns does win this match. I think that he pins Daniel Bryan and Edge gets pissed off and absolutely either destroys Daniel Bryan the night after WrestleMania on Raw, or SmackDown, since they're on SmackDown, or he destroys them after the match and the rated R superstar is complete. And that's my prediction. And I'm sorry, but that's not a prediction. That's actually a spoiler. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Paul.
I have to throw it out there. But real quick, Sasha, because I know, and I do apologize to the people. This episode is a little bit long. I do apologize. But at the same time, this is WrestleMania week, people. You need to understand that this is WrestleMania. If it's not long, then are we really WWE fans? You know
what
I mean?
We're preparing you for next week. That's exactly what we're doing.
Exactly.
We are getting you prepared.
We're throwing it out there because, one, I don't know if you, from what we've been talking about, not only this episode, but the past two episodes, Sasha, the legit king, loves wrestling. I, Daddy Fino, love wrestling. We're talking about it so much with such passion because we love wrestling. And this is a hell of a fucking week. There's a lot of wrestling. And it's a lot of wrestling that we're both looking forward to. It's a lot of wrestling that you are looking forward to. And I don't care what anyone says. The card that I mentioned, night one and night two of WrestleMania, and yes, I'm talking to you, Coop, it easily compares to any WrestleMania card. Because on paper, if we're being honest, and Sasha, shut me up if I'm wrong. You can gladly tell me to shut the fuck up if I'm wrong. And I'm sorry if I'm cursing, but I feel like that's just a shoot. Tell me on paper that this card, that the card I just mentioned, does not compare to WrestleMania 17, which is considered the greatest WrestleMania of all time by a lot of people. You have Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens that we know, that we both know can steal the show. We have Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, Edge in a triple threat match that we all know they can fucking go. Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. You're telling me that doesn't compare to a Chris Benoit versus Kurt Angle? Now, I know what you're thinking. Am I really going to put Cesaro and Seth Rollins on the same level as a Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, two of the greatest technical wrestlers of all time? But if you really think about it, I think you could. I think you actually could. Definitely if they get the time. Definitely if you give them the time. Now, don't get me started on the women's match. Because what did I say the women's match for WrestleMania 17 was? It was China versus Ivory in a 2 minute and 39 second match. 2 minutes and 39 second match. And we have Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair, two of the greatest athletic women of all time in the WWE. We have Rhea Ripley and Asuka, two of the most skillfully women of all time. You can argue that Rhea Ripley is the most skillfully youngest woman in WWE history, if any company. Look at all she's accomplished already, and she has so much to learn. She hasn't even been in a match with Sasha Banks yet. With Charlotte, well, no, she has been in Charlotte Flair. She hasn't been in a match with Bayley yet. She hasn't been in a match with Becky Lynch, the man, yet. And she's like, what, 23, 24?
I think she's 24.
24. And she's accomplished so much.
I understand your challenge with Coop. I think the structure, I think you can make the comparisons.
This is the one thing you can say, Sasha, and tell me if I'm wrong. The only argument that you can make against what I'm saying, how this card compares to the greatest WrestleMania by most people of all time, WrestleMania 17, you can say that the star power is obviously not there, because obviously there's no one in the history of the WWE that's here right now that can compare to The Rock and Stone Cold or Undertaker and Triple H in the co-main event. Because you got to think, this is the first WrestleMania. Think about it. This is the first WrestleMania in how long that we have no Brock Lesnar. We have no John Cena. We have no legend competing. So there's no Goldberg, no Rock. There's no Stone Cold appearing, you know, that's been announced. There's no superstars that, holy shit, The Rock's going to be at WrestleMania? Oh, I got to tune in. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing to really bring the casual fan to watch this WrestleMania besides maybe Edge or Bad Bunny. Let's be honest. Bad Bunny may be the only reason that your friend, a friend named Billy may tune in. Oh, yeah, I like Bad Bunny. I like that song he did, Mia, M.I.A. with Drake. Oh, I got to tune into WrestleMania. You know what I mean? There's no one on that level. I will give you that. And if Coop wants to use that argument against me, I can't argue against that because he's 100% correct with that. But
I'd be inclined to agree that it doesn't have the star power. And you did make a good point about, you know, this being one without legends. So I guess this would really be a chance for everybody complaining that, oh, legends take over, they come and take spots. They don't have that this year. So let's see if they can, you know, do it without. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree that there'll be good matches. Obviously, there will be good matches. And I think with the crowd being allowed there for the first time in the year, that's definitely going to add to the atmosphere. I just don't know. I don't think that this measures up to the greatest WrestleMania of all time. I won't say that it won't be good, but I don't, it does. I wouldn't say that it's a SummerSlam card because obviously, you know, you have, you know, Bad Bunny and you have all this going on. This is a WrestleMania card. I can believe it, but I wouldn't stack it against the greatest WrestleMania.
I'm going to say this.
I wouldn't. If it was at this point, I feel like WrestleMania has become so big that I think we kind of, as fans, kind of gloss over the fact that more often than not, there's been kind of some misses at WrestleMania the last few years. But I think because of what it's become spectacle-wise, sometimes that can be kind of like ignored. Right. So I think it'll be great this year. I'm not denying that, but I wouldn't stack it up against like a 17. There's aspects of it that you can compare, but I would not say that it would stack against 17. Like, I wouldn't do it.
You know what, Sasha? You just made me do something that I was not going to do. But I did say that there was a possibility it may happen. Earlier in the show, I did mention that I may say two or three straight fact predictions. I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there now. My second one. The first one I mentioned was about Finn Balor. The second one is about this year's WrestleMania. I'm going to go ahead and predict that this year's WrestleMania will be, by most people's accounts, a top 10 WrestleMania of all time. You can book it right now.
Okay.
You can book it right now. And I will, if I'm wrong, I will gladly, I'll say this. I am so sure that I'm going to be right about this, that if I'm wrong, and if you truly don't believe that this is a top 10 WrestleMania of all time, I'll lose double the points.
Okay. I didn't think it wouldn't be top 10, but
that's how much I believe.
I wouldn't have ranked it as high. But you're right, 31.
31.
We weren't convinced going in, but it turned out exactly to be great. But I mean,
31, I remember people shitting on 31.
But they completely did bring out the big guns for 31. They had NWO, they had Ronda Rousey, they had The Rock, they had all kinds of things.
Yeah, but
this year has to be. If you're not going to bring all that in. No, uh-huh. I understand. Like, you're not going to.
Right.
I don't think they need it this year. I have faith in the talent because that's one thing. WWE has a lot of talent, and this is the opportunity because you don't have those crutches this year to stand up on it.
I will say this.
I don't know.
You have. There's one X factor that you mentioned earlier that I forgot to bring up, but you brought it up. This is the first time we're going to have a full crowd.
Yeah.
And people forget the crowd has a lot of, they have a lot of input on how great the show is. And you can't tell me that the WWE doesn't know that we need to make sure that the first show that we have with the crowd is not lights fucking out. Because if anything, this is like a, think of this as a tryout. Now that AEW is going to be on Wednesdays by themselves, and AEW eventually is going to be at a part where they're going to have crowds, like full crowds every night, because they're going to be in Florida. You know, that's their main thing, Jacksonville. You can't tell me that this is not a WWE tryout to keep their fans. Because if AEW, just think about this. And I'm sure Stone Cold and Jericho are going to talk about this. But if AEW reaches 1 million fans the first night without NXT, I truly believe that if they impress those 1 million fans, that number is just going to increase, and slowly it's going to be Raw or SmackDown level. So WWE needs to knock this shit out of the park.
I agree.
WrestleMania needs to be fucking amazing. And I understand that there's a pandemic going on, but no one's going to give a shit. No one. WWE, Vince McMahon, just like my New York Jets with the second pick of the NFL draft, you're on the fucking clock. You need to make the right decision right fucking now. And you need to have a hell of a show. Because if you don't, as much as it hurts me to say this, WWE may be looking at a fucking problem.
But we'll see. I hope it's good. I don't say this to say that I think the show will suck. It absolutely won't. I think comparing it that high might be a little too ambitious, but I want it to be a good show. So I mean, look, let's see what happens.
Out of 37, I'm saying top 10. That's almost.
No, I mean, that's doable.
That's like 30%.
Yeah, I just don't think like
my.
Let's say like top 5.
Okay,
10 obviously could be a 10. Like, I'm not disagreeing with that, but let's say top 5.
Then you know what? I'll raise it up. Change my. If you will allow me, I will change it up. It will be a top 5 WrestleMania of all time. Edit that in the notes right now. I'm gonna change it. It will be a top 5 WrestleMania of all time. Book it. I'm already calling Vince. I texted Vince 10 minutes ago before I said it. I was like, Vince, you better do this shit.
So yeah, a top 5. Let's let it be that, because top 10, obviously we've got 37 of these. It can do that. And but yeah, top 5. I want to be wrong. Let me get that out there. You know, I know we always preach like we want to be negative all the time. I'm not saying that it's gonna be bad. I just want to see. Like I said, to me, the build could have been stronger. But we could say that for a lot of wrestling pay-per-views at this point. Like, the build could be stronger. I think the matches are going to be great. But then I also look at, and I know, I don't know if it's like a positive or a negative thing. If we look at NXT and how they had their builds, even the ones that kind of seem like these feuds may have just come together, you know, there's stakes involved. There's a little meat on the bone. And with some of these, it's just kind of like, it just sort of happened, you know? And like I said, it doesn't always have to be a story, but I don't know. I just, to me, TakeOver seems a little stronger. And I feel like it's been that way for a couple of years, but not to say that I'm not excited. Like Cesaro, you know how I feel about that. Reigns, Edge, and Bryan, I think that's going to be freaking awesome. I'm looking forward to Ripley and Asuka. Geez, that Nigerian drum match, though, I don't know, that might have sunk the whole thing for me.
I gotta
look that up, because I yikes.
I feel you on it.
I need I, to I need to get a job there and be like, hey, Sasha, do you think that's a good idea? Like, no, I do not.
Fuck
like,
Nigerian, no.
What? Like, well, you telling me we just sat here about representation last week? This is what you do? Like, nah, I gotta look that up.
Well, look, I'll just say, I'm gonna end it with this part. Okay. Maybe I'm a little bit more, I guess the word, I'm more acceptable to the content that they put out sometimes, you know, where most people would probably hate something that's going on, you know, going back to like the Bray Wyatt thing, where I think it's like, it's deeper than that. I'm more accepted because I understand, or I'm more acceptable to bad shit that they do because it's like, all right, I've learned in WWE that they're gonna have bad shit. They're gonna have terrible shit.
Right.
You just have to just learn to live with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you wouldn't have lasted that long if you didn't accept it.
Right. Like, they have way more misses than they have hits. Yeah. But it's those hits that you'll remember forever.
Right.
And even
with, like, The Fiend and Randy Orton, I want it to be a hit. I guess I just don't understand. And I, even what you said, if that's what it is, if it was explained that way, if it was, it just seemed more of the gaga around it. But if that was what it was and you're trying to convey that to me, that would have been a lot more interesting. In fact, I felt like this probably would have been a good match to maybe introduce the, you know, the Firefly Funhouse. They didn't do it last year. This is when I'd be like, okay, I understand why. Because then you could go back.
I want to go in such a tangent for what you just said, but I'm not. The
John Cena one made sense. I get that too. But if that didn't happen, let's bear with me. That did not happen last year.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, this would have been an acceptable replacement for that if it didn't happen. I just don't think they told the story clearly enough.
They didn't get that, and that's the
frustration because it's like,
I agree.
It's just a lot happening, and I'm like, just tell me the story. If you're saying let him in, what are you talking
what
about?
Where are we going with this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you would just told me that way.
What's the whole fucking point of this?
you're messing with him, but why? I understood he burned down Sister Abigail. I get it. It's just, it wasn't conveyed that way. And if you're going to do all that stuff around it, it felt like it was just hiding the fact that they didn't do a good job explaining this. That's my whole thing. Maybe I didn't communicate it clearly enough. I was just like, this is too much. I don't understand.
You got to understand. I understood 100% what you're saying. I was conveying what I know that WWE was trying to. They just didn't do a good job at it. I'm just way better at it. Which is why WWE should look at my application when I applied to be a writer.
Oh, goodness. Shameless plug.
You know, I'm just saying, yo, Vince.
You called him.
I called him, but yo, you know how Vince is, though. He just wants some.
I don't call him. So.
I'm going to share him before you. I got you.
Because if he had talked to me, we wouldn't be having this Nigerian drum match, but I digress.
You know what, though? Watch that match be like the match of the night. I'm just saying. I'll be shocked, but
Now you've gone too far.
Yeah, I just lost my case against Coop, right?
Goodbye.
All right, well, look. All right, we did all our predictions for the night, okay? I just want everyone to understand that, yes, this episode was about WrestleMania week. So, yes, it was a little bit longer than we expected. But that's because we love wrestling so much. That's because we love this week so much. We didn't even get into... We actually missed some topics that we wanted to talk about, to be honest with you guys. I wanted to get into detail about maybe some of Sasha's favorite WrestleMania moments. We didn't even get to do that. But that's where we have our special announcements that we were going to do at the end of the show, and we're going to do that now because we do have some major announcements to make for the show. The Daddy Fino show is going to be, finally, we figured out a great schedule for you guys, one that would work for not only me, but that would work for Sasha the Legit King. And I think it's something that not only will we stick to, but it's something that I think it will also help us out as far as able to help get more content out there for you guys, for you guys and gals, by the way. So I'll go ahead and explain that. So what we are going to do is that every 2 weeks. So this episode will drop this Sunday, which is the date has completely blown my mind. Hold on, 1 second. I look it up again. April 4th, which is Easter Sunday. Every other Sunday, we will have a episode drop. This episode that you're currently listening to will be dropping on Easter Sunday. So happy Easter to everybody. And then the following episode after that will drop on April 18th. And then so far and so on. Every 2 weeks, we'll drop an episode. But that does not mean that we will not have content dropping throughout the week. I fully expect me and Sasha to be dropping videos and stuff on our social media pages, whether it be questionnaires from the fans or would it be just maybe there's topics that we didn't get to on the show, but we want to talk about, maybe Sasha wants to expand on the Nigerian drum match. And she wants to just drop an episode, drop a little segment video, 5-minute video, whatever she wants to do on our Instagram page. That is something that if she wants to do, she has the opportunity to do. We're going to make sure that we continuously drop content. But our main episodes, they will drop every other Sunday. So every 2 weeks, we will drop an episode. You always can check it out on all podcasting streaming sites, whether that be Spotify, whether it be Apple Music, whether that be Google Play or wherever the hell they call Google Play now, because I think they changed it. I need to find out because I keep shitting on Google Play every time I say that. And also iHeartRadio and shit like
that. We love you, Google, by the way.
We do. We love you, Google.
Trust me. We love you.
I get most of my information from you. But yes, definitely check us out on that. Hey, Sasha, if you can go ahead, tell them what our social media sites are.
You can find us on Instagram at The Daddy Fino Show. On Instagram, The Daddy Fino Show. On TikTok, I believe it is. Is it the same?
Yes, it is the same thing. The Daddy Fino Show.
He wanted to call it the Daddy Fino Podcast, but no, it's the Daddy Fino Show on TikTok and Instagram. You could also follow our individual accounts. My individual account is at Sasha King Speak, SashaKingSpeak. You want to plug yours?
Oh yeah, my Instagram is Daddy Fino Yo. Five O's at the end. Definitely follow me on Instagram. I'm always posting stuff, whether it be WWE related or just regular memes and shit. I'm sure you'll like TikTok. By the way, on our TikTok, the Daddy Fino Show, where I'm posting my personal favorite WWE or just wrestling theme songs in general. I'm actually on number 10 right now of my favorite theme songs. I'm also posting my favorite wrestling moments of all time. I'm up to number 21, which I will be posting later on tonight. I've had over 70,000 views as of right now on all the videos combined. I have 400 followers right now on the Daddy Fino Show, over 3,000 likes. So definitely make sure you're one of those people, because we got a lot more to come. There's so much that we haven't done already that we are eventually going to bring to the show. Sasha has for sure has the passion to make this show great. I have the passion to make this show great. And we're just going to keep, you know, just keep going at it. Keep working hard. I hope you guys enjoyed this show. I know it was an extra long show tonight, but like I said before, this is WrestleMania week. WrestleMania can be 8 hours. We're just doing our best to imitate it, except we're not stupid enough to go 8 hours. We're going to go a little over two, but that's okay. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Sasha, you got anything to say to the people before we head out of here?
Guys, just enjoy next week. As much as we've turned over the cards for next week, we still have to be grateful that as wrestling fans, we are getting the very best. We are super spoiled. So, I mean, everybody enjoy next week. Eat your Wheaties, get some sleep. Drink some water, do what you need to do because it's going to be a long ride. And as usual, thank you for listening to us and having us along the ride. And now I'm going to go figure out what the hell a Nigerian drum match is. So,
and I'm just going to say right now, I'm going to make the major announcement right now. Sasha didn't know about this, but because of our conversation earlier, It just makes most sense. I've been talking about him for the last couple of episodes. I've mentioned him today for sure because he challenged me. I'm going to go ahead and say that Coop from The Big Scoop with Coop, you can check him out on Facebook and all that. He interviews celebrities, a lot of celebrities. He actually had the coach and Ken Shamrock on his show. Those were great episodes, so I definitely encourage you to check them out. The Big Scoop of Coop. But he will be the first guest that we do have on this show. I'm not sure what episode that would be, but he is going to be the first guest on our show because he challenged me, and I don't back down from a challenge. I want to hear what he has to say to everything I said. And I am pretty confident that Sasha wants to talk to him too, because he had a lot to say to, you know, like he had a lot of shit to say. Sasha, he said great things about you, but for about me, he's talked shit about me. So
I already like him. Let's get him on.
You know what? We gotta have to bring him on because I don't appreciate that, Coop. I know you're listening. Anyway, love you, bro. But Sasha, thanks again for joining me on this road. For being my co-host, you have been absolutely phenomenal through these three episodes. Thank you so much. The fact that you're lasted this long to deal with me, right there, you absolutely deserve all the credit in the world. I obviously think highly of you because you are so amazing. Thank you for all the content that you've done so far, and I can't wait for the future. For everything we do. And I just want all the listeners to hear me say that, because I tell you that off air, but I want to make sure on air they understand that I truly appreciate everything that you do for this podcast. It was, trust me, thank you so much. But after that, I just want to say, guys, enjoy WrestleMania week. It's going to be a hell of a week. I can't wait for it. This is dropping Easter Sunday, so happy Easter to everybody that listens on Easter Sunday. And just enjoy WrestleMania week. All right. I love you guys. Right. Sasha, if you got anything, any last words, go ahead and say it before we head out of here.
No, just thank you so much as well. I appreciate the kind words, and I'm excited to continue to do the show every week, guys. And like I said, happy WrestleMania week. Enjoy yourselves. Remember, this is why we love it, and we love you guys. So have a good one.
All right. We out of here. Peace.
Bye.